Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
So there were two big public appearances yesterday by top U.S. government officials. There was this, which all the networks broke in to cover.
Yes, in fact, I was born in Hawaii, August 4th, 1961, in Kapi'olani Hospital.
And there was this, which you had to go to a business channel to find.
Participants' projections for output growth have a central tendency of 3.1 to 3.3% for this year, but rise to 3.5 to 4.2% in 2012 and about the same in 2013.
What? So, granted, Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke sure proved that he's a master of impenetrably academic English, but this was the first ever news conference by a Federal Reserve Board chairman, breaking with a tradition of Delphic secrecy. And the topic was the issue that almost every American is actually the most concerned about, a little more than the president's birth certificate, inflation and jobs. So we will pass on the birther business today, and Donald Trump now going on to question whether Obama deserved to get into Harvard and Columbia. We know where that's coming from. Instead, we will dive deep into Bernanke speak with New York Times economic scene columnist David Leonhardt, who wrote yesterday that he has one burning question for the Fed chairman: why Bernanke accepts widespread unemployment for years on end, even though he believes he has the power to reduce it. Bernanke's answer, in part: no, I don't have that power.
Indirectly, of course, if to the extent that we can help the economy recover and help job creation proceed, then some of the people who get jobs will be those who've been out of work for a long time. That being said, we don't have any tools for targeting long-term unemployment specifically. We just can just try to make the labor market work better.
With us now, New York Times economic scene columnist David Leonhardt. Hi, David. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks, Brian.
So I watched the whole news conference.
You did?
I watched the whole 57 minutes and was waiting in the gym. So at least I was doing something, you know, kind of distracting, and was waiting for someone to ask your question point blank. Why does he accept widespread unemployment for years on end, even though he believes he has the power to reduce it? No one did ask it point blank, but was the clip we just played pretty much Bernanke's answer?
Yeah, and someone came close to asking it. It was actually my colleague, Binya Applebaum, who essentially asked, why aren't you doing more about unemployment? And I'm not sure that the clip you just played was from that answer, but it could have been. They covered similar ground. Bernanke's answer was basically, first, A, we've done a lot, which is not really a good answer, and we can get into that. And B, if we do more, we risk having inflation go up, and that in itself won't just be bad for its own reasons, but actually could be bad for unemployment. And I think there was a lot about Bernanke's performance yesterday that was impressive. I think there's a lot about him that's impressive. But I didn't think those were very good answers. Bernanke has been very clear about the fact that even when the Fed's benchmark interest rate, which tends to affect short-term interest rates, is at zero, it retains the power to lift growth and thus lift employment. And in his last answer today, he made it clear that he hasn't abandoned that point of view. He said, look, good monetary policy has the power to affect how slow and long recoveries after financial crises are. But he has been unwilling to do more to bring down unemployment. He is essentially looking at a situation in which inflation is up, but remains very low historically, and unemployment remains very high historically. And he's saying that inflation and unemployment are roughly equal-sized problems right now, and I just don't think that's right.
Listeners, did anybody else watch the Ben Bernanke news conference yesterday, or was I the surrogate for each and every one of you out there listening right now? If you did watch it or part of it or hear some clips or read the New York Times or Wall Street Journal or anything else today and want to react, or ask David Leonhard a question about anything pertaining to the first ever news conference. And we'll talk to a little bit about why there's never been this kind of public openness before from the Fed. But if you want to raise anything about it, 212-433-WNYC for David Leonhard, 212-433-9692. So, David, you said that you take issue with his premise that they're doing a lot. But to read the Wall Street Journal editorial page, for example, Bernanke's doing way too much. Conservative economists especially are concerned that this quantitative easing, this flooding the market with dollars to buy back U.S. Treasury bonds, things like that, is inflationary because more money out there leads to inflation, depresses the dollar, which has other impacts, like raising commodity prices in relation to the dollar, which also causes inflation, weakening the U.S. internationally, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they go, oh, my God, the $600 billion plan of quantitative easing, flooding the market with money. So most of the debate out there is really about him doing too much. You're saying there's more that he could be doing.
There absolutely is more that he could be doing, and he doesn't deny that. It is true there.
Which is what? Is it just buying more treasuries, flooding the market with more money?
It's a series of different things. He could buying more treasuries is just a way to try to reduce long-term interest rates. As he has pointed out, it's really not that much different from what the Fed normally does. The Fed normally tries to reduce short-term interest rates, but once it has short-term interest rates down to zero, it obviously can't reduce them further. So then it tries to reduce long-term interest rates. That's one thing it could do. The second thing it could do is it could come out and say, hey, the economy is weaker than we thought, which it is. The Fed has been too optimistic. And so we right now, we have said that we're going to keep short-term rates at zero for an extended period. We're going to go further than that right now and say we do not anticipate raising short-term rates until, and I'm just picking a date out of the blue, the end of 2012. We reserve the right to change our minds. So they could do that. They could also, and this gets a little technical, they could do something in which they say, yes, inflation is getting a little bit above our comfort zone right now, but it was below our comfort zone for so long that we're willing to have a period of catch-up. We're willing to have inflation a little bit higher than we would normally want because essentially prices are behind where they would have been if inflation had been normal. So there are a series of things they can do. It is true there are critics who say they're doing too much. The Wall Street Journal editorial page, Ron Paul, some economists, and they are more worried about inflation. I think one thing that's important to remember is many of those people are always worried about inflation. They were worried about inflation in the middle of last year when they said the Fed is doing too much, it's going to spark inflation. One Fed official who's in this camp raised the specter of the Weimar Republic. They ended up being entirely wrong. Inflation was not a problem last year. The slowness of the recovery was a problem, and the Fed eventually basically admitted this and admitted that they had done too little. So the fact that people who are always worried about inflation, who always say inflation is a problem and basically say it's always a bigger problem than unemployment, the fact that they're still worried about it doesn't do much to persuade me that they're right.
Here's another Bernanke clip that goes to what you were just talking about or part of it. Bernanke may not be starting a new round of stimulus, but he's also not so concerned about inflation that he would start raising interest rates. Listen.
S&P's action didn't really tell us anything because everybody who reads the newspaper knows that the United States has a very serious long-term fiscal problem. That being said, I'm hopeful that this event will provide at least one more incentive for Congress and the administration to address this problem. I think it's the most important economic problem, at least in the longer term, that the United States faces.
All right, so that was a different clip than I thought it was going to be. That was Bernanke on the long-term federal deficit and Standard & Poor's downgrading the outlook on U.S. bonds. Here's the clip on not so concerned about inflation that he's raising interest rates.
We will tighten it at the right time, and that we will thereby allow the recovery to continue and allow the economy to return to a more normal configuration, at the same time keeping inflation low and stable.
So, David Leonhard, by not raising rates, Bernanke did not address one of the questions posed for him by our callers yesterday. We asked everybody to call in after I mentioned your article and propose their own questions for Ben Bernanke. And we got one senior citizen who called in, who I think spoke for a lot of people. He said, seniors on fixed incomes who can't get a decent return on a safe investment are being hurt by Ben Bernanke. Bank and CD interest rates are near zero at his hand. Does that even enter his thinking?
It does. And, I mean, Bernanke is a moderate. So I think he has allowed himself to be too influenced by people who don't pay attention to the data within the Fed, who basically always worry about inflation no matter what inflation is and no matter what unemployment is. But Bernanke is not one of those people at all. He tries to look at what's actually going on. I don't think he always succeeds, but he tries to look at what's actually going on and make a decision based on that. And so he is not raising rates because the notion that you would begin to raise rates at a time when the economy is as weak as it is now is incredibly dangerous. It really has the potential to choke off the recovery. And I understand that there are cross currents here, that low rates are tough on people who are living off fixed income. But it's worth remembering that if he raised rates, it would almost certainly cause more people to lose their jobs. And some of those people on fixed income have children who would be the people who lost their jobs. And so it's not clear to me that raising rates right now and thus doing damage to the economy would actually benefit very many people when you take into account all of the effects that it would have.
So I guess when you call him a moderate, you could judge that by looking at your statement on the one hand, which says there's more that he could be doing and he should be doing it and he refuses to do it, on the one hand, then the page one Wall Street Journal headline on the news conference today, which is Fed takes foot off the gas, which I think kind of backs you up. But they made a point of not saying that he puts the foot on the brake. So he's going to let this QE2, flooding the market program expire when it ends in June. He's not going to do a QE3, as you might want, but he's also not going to raise rates. So there's the moderate Bernanke.
That's right. And I think the mistake he's making here is he is putting he wants to see himself as both a moderate and an empiricist. And I think in this case, he is putting the moderate ahead of the empiricist. I think that if you were to judge the evidence right now, you would say the Fed needs to be doing more. For example, last year the San Francisco Fed did an analysis of how much the Fed should be doing simply based on the economic numbers. This was just a formula. And they concluded the Fed should be doing much more than it was doing.
So is he responding rate. Is he responding to the political climate?
Yes.
Supposedly, and this is one of the reasons that the Fed hasn't had news conferences in the past. They don't want to be seen as politicians responding to political pressures. They want to be seen as pure economists responding to pure economics.
Yes. He is in part responding to the political pressure. He is well aware that he has people within the Fed, at some of the regional Fed banks, who want to start raising rates, who are very concerned about inflation. He is well aware that he has people on Capitol Hill who want him to start raising rates. And if he does more to try to boost growth and boost employment, he will come under attack from a lot of these people. And that's where I think he's trying to sketch out this ground as a moderate. And he wants to sort of be in between the people who think he should do more and the people who think he should start doing less now. The problem is that I think when you look at the numbers on employment and inflation, it's clear to me he should be doing more. The best number, I think, that shows this is when you look at core inflation over the last 3 months. Core inflation is never what you should look at when you're trying to figure out how inflation affects people, because core inflation excludes energy and food, and obviously we all have to pay energy and food bills. But core inflation is a much better predictor of what overall inflation is going to be in the future, because food and energy prices bounce around so much that core inflation is a better predictor. So inflation has spiked over the last 3 months, and yet if you look at the rate that core inflation has risen over the last 3 months, it is at one of the lowest increases in the last 40 30 years. So it has basically risen from nothing to a little bit. And yes, we need to be worried that it will keep rising. But it doesn't seem to me, at a time when we have growth slowing, when we have unemployment still near 9%, when we're coming out of a financial crisis that all the history says will take us a long, long time to come out of, it doesn't seem to me that the rise of inflation from nothing to one of the lowest levels in the last 40 years is the main problem facing the economy right now.
David Leonhardt, New York Times economic scene columnist, with us talking about the first ever news conference by a Federal Reserve Board chairman, Ben Bernanke, yesterday. Gary Kasparov coming up in just a few minutes. Matt in Prospect Heights, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi there. I have a really quick question. If the inflation rate of commodities, in particular gas and food, is determined largely by demand from emerging or emerged economies other than ours, like China and India, could the Fed do anything to affect the inflation rate of those commodities? And I'll take my answer off the air. Thanks.
Thank you. You got the question, David?
Yeah, it's a great question. It can do some things to affect the prices of those commodities, but one of the other reasons that it focuses on core inflation is that the Fed realizes it can't do all that much, and it can do more to affect the prices of other goods. So the fact that China and India want a lot of oil is going to raise oil prices all over the world because there's a global market for oil. The fact that China and India are growing really fast isn't going to do much for the price of, say, automobiles in this country, or the price of haircuts, or the price of many other things. Because those things, you know, a Honda minivan that's already on a lot in this country, the main thing that's going to affect whether it sells is the state of the economy here and also interest rates here, because many people use loans to buy cars. And so the Fed can't do a huge amount to affect global energy and food prices. It can do much more to affect the economy in this country, and that's one of the reasons why it would be a mistake for the Fed to overreact to changes in energy and food prices.
And, you know, to be fair, Bernanke, I mean, even the New York Times editorial page today said that Bernanke, who they think has done a pretty admirable job, has limited power. Congress has to do more with fiscal policy, which means more progressive tax and stimulus policies in the political sector. There's only so much you can do with monetary policy.
That's absolutely true. Mark Toma, who's an economist at the University of Oregon and writes the Economist View blog, which is quite good, I think has the best line on this. He says, look, the best thing we could do right now for the economy is not monetary policy. It's fiscal policy, which is to say it's Congress. It's some sort of temporary tax cuts. It's some sort of spending. It's some way to put people back to work. But that isn't going to happen. There is no political scenario in which you can imagine the current Congress passing bills to do that. So given that that isn't going to happen, we are then left to look at the Fed to say, what can the Fed do to help? And the fact that congressional policy, fiscal policy, would be a better way to address this problem doesn't let Bernanke off the hook, because he only controls one of those two. And the fact is, while he can't make the economy suddenly feel healthy, he could do more than he is currently doing, and he should be doing more than he's currently doing.
New York Times economic scene columnist David Leonhardt, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. I want to pass along an important weather alert that we've just gotten from the National Weather Service. It is a tornado warning for parts of our area. We've been hearing, of course, about the tornadoes across the South and parts of the Midwest. The National Weather Service in Mount Holly, New Jersey, has now issued a tornado warning for Morris County, northeastern Hunterdon County, south central Sussex County, and east central Warren County for the next 20 minutes. This was just issued a few minutes ago. The National Weather Service Doppler radar indicated a severe thunderstorm capable of producing a tornado near Califon, or 17 miles east of Easton, and it's moving northeast at 50 miles an hour. So if there is a tornado, it would be near Long Valley and Hackettstown around now, Chester and Bud Lake by around 11:30, Sukasuna, Netcong, and Stanhope in about 10 minutes from now, and Wharton, Dover, and Mount Arlington in about 15 minutes from now. The storm continues to show rotation, and that means a tornado could develop quickly. Precautionary and preparedness actions you can take. Well, in addition to the tornado, this storm is capable of producing quarter-size hail and damaging straight-line winds. The safest place to be during a tornado is in a basement. Get under a workbench or other piece of sturdy furniture if no basement is available and a tornado is actually hitting. Seek shelter on the lowest floor of the building, in an interior hallway or room such as a closet. Use blankets or pillows to cover your body for padding, and always stay away from windows. If you're in a mobile home or a vehicle, evacuate and get inside a substantial shelter. If no shelter is available, lie flat in the nearest ditch or other low spot and cover your head with your hands. Again, a severe thunderstorm watch remains in effect all day till about 4 o'clock for Delaware and northeastern Maryland and New Jersey and eastern Pennsylvania. But this tornado warning issued moments ago from the National Weather Service is for Morris County, northeastern Hunterdon County, south central Sussex County, and east central Warren County until 11:45, or for about the next 20 minutes. And I'll go over some of this again. Severe thunderstorms capable of producing a tornado have been sighted near Califon, or 17 miles east of Easton, moving northeast at 50 miles per hour. It will be near Long Valley and Hackettstown around now, Chester and Bud Lake in about 5 minutes, Sukasana, Netcong, and Stanhope in about 10 minutes, Wharton, Dover, and Mount Arlington in about 15 minutes, or about 11:40. And again, for the precautions, the safest place to be during a tornado is in a basement. Get under a workbench or other piece of sturdy furniture. If no basement is available, seek shelter on the lowest floor of the building in an interior hallway or room such as a closet. You can use blankets or pillows to cover your body for padding, and always stay away from windows during a tornado warning. If you're in a mobile home or a vehicle and you're in an area where a tornado is approaching you, evacuate and get inside a substantial shelter, according to the National Weather Service. If no shelter is available, lie flat in the nearest ditch or other low spot and cover your head with your hands. So this is serious stuff, folks. You've seen the news about what's happened in other parts of the country. There is now this tornado warning in effect immediately, right now, and for the next 15 or 20 minutes in those parts of New Jersey. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We will talk to the chess master and Russian presidential hopeful at one recent time and big critic of Putin and through that of the United States, Garry Kasparov. Stay with us.